Okay, move on. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is I'm actually doing something again connected to the Parsha, but not so much the Parsha Shir, but more the Tshuva Shir, to understand the power of Tshuva and Elul and the whole journey of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and so on. So a bit of introduction. So this is based on a Sikha of the Rebbe, according to Chassidus. And it's based on the following, just the following introduction is important, and that is that whenever we have halacha, when we have mitzvahs in the Torah that relate to relationships with, or anything we talk about that happens down here in this world, is always something that evolves from what's happening in the higher worlds, right? Particularly when we talk about things that have to do with the relationship between people, it often relates to the relationship that is between us and Hashem. But in order to understand, so for example, a wedding. So a wedding is, we know that one of the ideas of a wedding is chasan and kala, male and female, is really like reenacting the wedding of Hashem and the Jewish people, which took place at Har Sinai, right? So we're going to take an idea that's got to do not with the wedding, but the opposite, we'll see in a second, that, and explore that, how that works, and discover an unbelievable tshuva idea that is embedded in this whole concept. Now, just one thing you have to understand, however, is that whenever we talk about things here being a moshel or things here evolving from the way they are in the high worlds, because it evolves into the gashmiyistic world, of course, the physical world, of course, is limited, right? Because limited, it doesn't always evolve with all these details. There might be details that are in the original form that don't exist in the way it's evolved into the physical world. Okay, it's just bear that in mind, because that might be relevant. Okay, so what we're going to have a look at is one of the mitzvahs that's in this week's parasha. Not a mitzvah that we want to use often, but it's the mitzvah of a get, and how the process of divorce works. Right. So let's have a look on page, if you can go to Chumash, page 1058. Okay. Yeah. 1058, the beginning of chapter 24, Pasuk Aleph. So that's the word key. So let's learn the pasuk. This is an action-packed pasuk. In Gemara, pages and pages of Torah, oral Torah halacha is learned from this pasuk. But essentially, it's the halachas of the get. Ki yikach ish isha, if a man will marry a woman, who ba'ollah and live with her, be intimate with her, v'hoya, and it will come to pass, im lo simtso chein be'einav, that she will not find favor in his eyes anymore. One of the reasons could be ki matzo ba ervas dover, because he found her he discovered in her a matter of immorality, let's say, and he wants to divorce her. So how do you do that? How do you dissolve a halachic marriage? V'kosa lo sefer krisus, he will write for her a document of severance. Krisus means to cut off. Right? Sefer means a document, like anything that's written down, like a Sefer Torah or a Sefer. Right? That's a document. Krisus means to cut off. The Nosan Beyoda, he will give that document into her hand. The Shilcha Mibesoi, and he will send her off from his house. And that they will be unmarried. Yeah? Well, there's a few answers to that. First of all, yes, if there's proper witnesses in the proper process. Not always that's the case. Sometimes there's... So let's take a classic case, halachically. A married woman goes and lives with another man. That is a capital punishment offense in the Torah, right? Adultery. But there has to be two witnesses actually who saw the act and warning and all that kind of stuff, or to actually convict her. But how about if there isn't, and most times it probably wouldn't be, that level of evidence, and there'd be circumstantial evidence, but enough that even she admits, it's not like an issue. It's an established fact that she lived with another man, she committed adultery, right? In that case, actually, that severe case, she wouldn't be put to death, because you can't convict someone covered with punishment unless you have the exact form of evidence and warning of the Torah mandates, but he'd be obligated to divorce her. That's an extreme case. So that's not only what the Torah is talking about here. That's an extreme case of where she's actually now forbidden to live with him. Right? But the Torah is not even talking about it. The Torah is talking about he suspects something, or just she's not behaving properly, or if it doesn't work out. I mean, in other words, it says that in the Pasuk, but as we learn in the Gemara, it doesn't only refer to this. It refers to that I won't continue the marriage for whatever reason. Right? Okay, we'll see a little bit about that later, actually. Yeah. Okay. So you've got to write the get, give it to them. Okay, now, keep the Pasuk open there. So, we find an interesting thing here. We find a couple of contradictions in the get. We call it, the get in the Torah is not called the get, actually. The get is a word that comes from the Gemara. In the Torah, it's called Sefer Krisus, the document of severance, right? The document of cutting off. So the word there is Krisus, and therefore the Gemara says, we learn from there, that document must be very unambiguous, must be absolutely clear, that she's completely disconnected from her husband. That's the only way the get works, right? The Gemara goes to a whole bunch of scenarios about things that might be included in the get, which would, like in the get, I'll give you an example. In the get, there's a line there that says, "Hare at muteres l'chol adam," you are now permitted to marry any other man, right? Let's say if you put in the get, you are permitted to marry any other man except for this one. Then it's not completely cutting, it's not completely releasing her. So in other words, the concept is that the get has to be something where it's completely clear that she's disconnected from her husband, right? On the other hand, it's called a Sefer Krisus, a book of Krisus, which the Gemara learns certain halachas, that there are similarities to how a get is written, right? And how, from how a Sefer Torah is written. For example, a Sefer Torah is written that the length of the Sefer Torah is always longer than the width. Right? It's just that's why we write in longer columns. Because that's how we learn. Halacha is that the length of the Sefer Torah must be longer than the width of the Sefer Torah. And a get has to be the same way, right? The get has to be that it's not like a little scroll that can go forever. It's got to be written in a way where the length of the document is greater than the width, right? So we're comparing it to Torah. What's the whole essence of Torah? The whole essence of Torah is, Torah, the Rambam tells us, Torah nitna lasos shalom ba'olam. The Torah was given to make peace in the world. The Torah is exactly the opposite of the get, right? And yet we learn some halachas of the get, how it's written, from the Torah, right? Even more than that, there's a certain idea of unity in the get, which is strange. For example, it says Sefer Krisus, the book of divorce, the book of severance. It doesn't say Svarim, it says Sefer in the singular. We learn from there that a get may not be written in more than one page. It's got to be on one page. Sorry, guy. Where do we learn that from? From the word Sefer. One is the idea of unity, it's oneness, right? In a way, it's even more than the Torah. The Torah can be written on many pages, and yet the Torah is given to make peace. And here we talk about a get, which is the opposite of peace, is supposed to be on one page. Idea of oneness, right? Another interesting concept, how it's connected to the Torah, the Sefer Torah. One of the reasons it's called the get, because a get is gematria, has the gematria of 12, Gimel and Tes, right? Now, Bereshis Shmois Vayikra and Bamidbar, right? Before we get to the last one, although it's the part of the Torah that comes straight from Hashem, so to speak, we know that between each book of the Torah, there's a space. What's that space? The halacha is going to be a space of four lines. right? So 4 times 3 between Bereishis, Shmoyis, between Shmoyis VaYikra, VaMikra, and Dvar, VaYikra VaMibra, 4 times 3 is 12 lines. That's what Tosfos says in the Gemara. That's why we came to Minhag, because that separates the books. Therefore, that's why Get is written with 12 lines. Yet there's got to be one Sefer, so it's connected to the Torah. So it's like this whole very interesting contradiction that arises in the Get, which is doesn't sound amazingly consequential at the moment, but it will be when we learn the deeper meaning behind the whole idea, right? Another very interesting thing is the connection between a get and marriage, which is really strange. Get and marriage, obviously the opposite, right? Marriage is about love, about unity, about oneness. The get is completely the opposite. And yet in the Torah and the Psukim, they're actually unbelievably connected. How so? The Pasuk from where we learn the idea of a get is the very Pasuk we learn how marriage takes place. Look at the Pasuk again. Ki yikach ish isha, if a man will take a woman. You know, there are 3 ways women can become married, you know that? So today we only use one. The Gemara says, how does kiddushin, how does the moment of legal marriage actually take place? When do they become legally married? 3 ways. Either the groom gives the bride, the chasen gives the kala, something of monetary value, which the minhag for centuries became to give a ring, right? Doesn't have to be a ring, actually. It can be anything, but it has to be, that's the minhag, use a ring already from way, way, way back, right? That's because it's got a monetary value. I don't know if you ever noticed that a chuppah, I don't know how closely you follow the intricacies, the details of a chuppah, but you'll notice that the rabbi, before the chassan gives the kala the ring, the rabbi will always take, can I have the ring? He'll ask a few questions. He'll say to the chassan, is this yours, right? And he'll say yes, and then he'll show it to the witnesses, because you have to have witnesses. And he'll say, do you think it's a shoveh pruta? Do you think this is worth a pruta? Why? Because that's the halacha. He has to give something of monetary value. The minimum monetary value in the Torah is a pruta. The answer is normally yes, because the pruta is about 10 cents. So even if it's a very plain gold ring, you assume it's... There's all kinds of reasons why we say that. We say that the color should hear, so she knows she's getting something of worth a pruta. Whatever, that's one way. How do we know this? We know from this pasuk that says, Giyikach. Yikach means he will take her, right? Where do we find the word yikach? When Avraham Avinu bought the field from Ephron to bury Sarah. So we call it, in halacha, it's called the Gzeira Shava. We connect it to Parshias where we have the word yikach over here. We have the word yikach by, or kicho at least, by Avraham Avinu when he buys. Over there was with money, so we know yikach can also be money. That's the source of how you know that that's one of the ways to get married, through giving a monetary value. In fact, it's the system that we use. What's the second one? The second one is they can be intimate with each other. Now, they can do that the rest of their life and should do that, Mr. Shem, but that can be actually a way of getting married. Going into a room, yichud, being intimate, there be witnesses on the outside, and that's one way with the intention of becoming married. That could, we don't do that, we're not allowed to do that system, but that's one of the systems. How do we know that? For the next pasuk. It says, Yikach ish ish, if a man will take his woman, that's how we know money. Uba Allah, and he will live with her, he'll be intimate with her. So we know that's another system of how you get married. Right? Finally, a different way of getting married is through a document. Not to be confused with the ksuba. The ksuba is not a marriage document. The ksuba is a commitment document from the husband to his wife, which they have to have if they want to get married. Right? So the ksuba doesn't actually create the marriage. But you could, if you didn't want to give a ring, if you were stingy, and didn't want to give a ring, he could give her a document in which the document will say the same thing he says when he gives the ring. The document will say, Arei atum kodeshes li, you are married to me, and he'll give it in front of witnesses. Right? How do we know that works? We know it from the get, because look at the next pasuk, pasuk beis. The Torah then talks about what happens that when she leaves his house and she goes to marry someone else, and that someone else dies or divorces her, and the question is, can she remarry her original husband? But look at what it says. It says the yotzo mi beisoi, pasuk beis, pasuk two, right? He'll go out of his house. The holchon she will go. The hoysa leish acher. And she'll become someone else's wife. Oh, so the Gemara says, the Torah compares how she goes out to how she stops being a wife to how she becomes being a wife. What does that teach us? That there's a third method of getting married. Just like you go out from being a wife through a document, you can become a wife through a document. Not the same wording, obviously, but that's the third method. So we learn that from pasuk. So we learn kiddushin. We learn marriage from where? From the portion of the Torah that talks about a get, which is really strange, right? Incidentally, that second pasuk comes to tell us another interesting mitzvah. That, you know, a person who divorces his wife may remarry her. It's happened before. He can remarry her. I know of a couple of cases that happen, right? But not if she marries someone else in the meantime. So she marries someone else in the meantime, and then he dies with a divorce, so she cannot go back to her previous husband. Okay. Which is also relevant when we know the deeper side of things in a second. Okay, so that's a very interesting thing. Now, interesting that this is all in the Chumash, right? Truth is, the same thing happens a little bit in the Gemara. Now, there's two Gemaras, two tractates, right? Two tractates of the Gemara. One is called Masechta Gittin. It's the volume of Gemara that talks about divorce. Then there's the volume of the Gemara that talks about Kiddushin called Masechta Kiddushin, right? They are right next to each other. In fact, Gittin comes first. Gittin and Kiddushin, just like the Pasuk. And it says, V'yotzeh v'hoi, so she will go out and become someone else's wife. So there's many reasons why the Gittin comes before Kiddushin. But what's the... So that's the Masechta Kiddushin. What's the end of Gittin? The very, very end of Masechta Gittin. The whole Masechta that's talking about how you get divorced, right? All the different halachas, it's a lot of halachas. How to write a get, it's written very carefully, and it's a lot of different scenarios, and so on and so forth. The very end of the Mishnah says the tragedy of divorce. And the verse says that someone who divorces his first wife, particularly, Hamizbeach Moirid Olav Demois, the Mizbeach cries, right? And then there's a Mishnah which says, Loyagarish Adam Mishnah, a person should try and never get divorced. I mean, today's a lot of divorce, unfortunately, but, right? Elaim came Masra de Restover, unless he found something immoral with her, like the Pasuk says, and so on and so forth. Okay. There's another section that the Rebbe talks about, the beginning of the Masechta, which I'll get to a little bit later. Okay. Now, what does this all mean? What's this all talking about? So, we know that Ish and Isha, man and wife down here, is symbolic or represents the marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people. Yeah? There is a reference in the Gemara that Hashem divorced us when He sent us away. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right? He sent us away to other lands, and that's it. He sent us away. So that's like a form of divorce. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says, an interesting thing. I'm going to read you the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Yidden always have an excuse, right? And the Gemara talks about a story like this. Oh. Shmuel said, there were 10 people who came and sat with the Novi Yecheskel. Now the Neviim, Yecheskel was a Novi. The Neviim always tried to get the Jews to do tshuva, right? Yirmiyahu tried so hard, they didn't listen to him, and the Churban happened. But then they went into Babel, in Babylonia, and then Yecheskel wanted them to do tshuva. And there were 10 people that came to saw Yecheskel, and he said to them, says the Gemara, Amar Lem, he said to them, Chizru b'tshuva, do tshuva. And they came up with a very strong answer, a very strong response. The Gemara calls it a tshuva nitzachas, it's like a... A definite response, like something very clear, very strong response. What do they say? They said to Yecheskel, I want to know something. We said, they said, look, listen, if a slave whose master has sold him, the person has a slave and he sold him, or the Isha Shiger Shabayla, or a woman whose husband divorced her, right? Klum Yeshlo Zeh Al Zeh Klum, are they connected to each other? Can they have any complaints to each other? Can they have any expectations from each other, demands from each other? No. So therefore he says, since Hashem divorced us, right? Since Hashem divorced us, so he's got no claim on us, so why should we do tshuva? That's what they said. And the Mara calls it a very good claim. So the Novi goes to Hashem and he tells him what he didn't say, right? So Hashem says to the Novi, this is actually a different Novi, but the same thing, it all creates a conversation. I'll read you the pasuk. Lech emor lehem. Go say to them. Go say to them what I told Yeshayo Hanavi. There's a pasuk in Yeshayo Hanavi. And the pasuk says like this. Eize krisus imchem asher shlachtia. Where is the divorce document of your mother who I dismissed? Hey, right? I didn't divorce you. I didn't send you away. You did Averis, so you got sold into the nations of the world. I never divorced you. So here's a problem. Right? There's a few problems here. The problem is, what do you mean that I never divorced you? The Gemara calls it a good claim. So in other words, on one level there is a divorce. On one level Hashem divorced us. He sent us away. That's what a get is. That's what the pasuk says over here. The yotza v'shilcha mibeisai. The husband will send her away from his house. Hashem sent us away. And the Gemara calls it a good claim. So there was a divorce. And then right away Hashem says, go and tell him there's no divorce document. I never ever divorced you. We did. Okay. So therefore we must say it's like this, that on one level there is a divorce, on one level there isn't a divorce. We have to understand what that means. Right? So let's talk about the divorce that does happen. Or can happen, right? How can there be such a thing? Here's the problem. We know that Hashem, right, can't really divorce us halachically. Again, this is all a very interesting way of learning. We take an esoteric idea, but you learn it halachically, right? So one of the halachas of a get is that a person, when a husband divorces get, the actual document must leave his ownership and be given to the woman, right? There's all kinds of discussions in the Gemara Gittin about certain times that, you know, if a get is given in a certain way, then it's invalid because it never really left the husband. He still owns it, right? For example, if he throws it at the get, but he's still holding onto a string that's attached to the get, in other words, he can still bring it back, that's not good, right? So here comes the problem, and the Gemara talks about a get, a divorce, that Hashem gave the Jewish people, right? Hashem is everywhere, so nothing can ever leave him. So how is it even possible? Why does the Gemara even call it a good claim? It's not possible for Hashem to divorce us, right? So the answer must be, we're talking about on a revealed sense. There are times that Hashem becomes very hidden, and that Hashem is not present, and there's no consciousness of Him. And therefore, He's hidden from us. As it says, Honoichi hastir astir aspada. I'm very, very hidden. Hashem says, there will come a day that I will hide from you. Hashem hiding from us means that He's not here, so to speak, on one level. If He's not here, that means that's how He can send the get. Now, how does that happen? So the Rebbe says an amazing thing. The Rebbe says that if you look at the Masechta Gittin has many chapters and many mishnas and many different things, and it starts off in a very weird halacha. You would imagine the Masechta Gittin, right? If you're going to teach someone about, you know, let's say you're going to teach someone about Shabbos, right? You're writing a curriculum about Shabbos, right? So what are you going to start with? Some obscure halacha, or are you going to start with like the beginning? You're going to start the psuk, and listen, there's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. There's 6 days in the Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's 39 melachos. There's 39 melachos. Each one has derivatives. You go sort of the structured way, right? The Mishnah Gittin decides to start off, doesn't talk about, you'd imagine it would start off, there are two people are married, they want to dissolve the marriage. How do you do it? You start with, you have to have a get. Then you go into halachos of a get, right? Now, one of the halachas of the get, which is only in certain circumstances, that a get can be sent through a shliach, right? So let's say the husband is in America, and the wife's in Israel. He can send the get. He doesn't have to be there to give it to. He can send it through a legally, halachically appointed shliach, right? But even if he does that, and it's done still like that till today, in certain circumstances, not normally, things, right? But even if normally they'd be in the same area, at least, maybe it's a different town, but I mean, right? That's a detail in the get. That's just a detail that it can be done through a shliach, right? Normally it's not, but it can be done. In that detail itself, the very first halacha that the Gemara, the Masechta Gittin begins with, is what happens with a shliach that brings a get, mimedinas hayom, Medinas Hayam means overseas. So again, you're in Israel, for example, right? And husband and wife are getting divorced. The wife's in Israel. And the husband is Medinas Hayam. Medinas Hayam is the expression the Gemara uses always for overseas. Right? Overseas. And a shliach comes from overseas, he's got a get. So he has to go to Beis Din. He says, this, he has to present himself. I'm a shliach. I brought a get from another Beis Din. He has to testify that I know this is a document, it's legitimate. Before I nechta, it was actually written. It was written in front of me, it was signed in front of me, it's a legitimate get, it can be given. Okay. That's the halacha the Masechta Gittin starts with, right? Which is a kind of get that would hardly ever happen. I mean, husband and wife are normally, if they were married, they're probably somewhere together. Only a very rare case where the husband absconded and he's had to find him. I mean, it happens, but it happens today. But where you got to find him and he agrees to send the get, okay, fine. But it's a very detailed thing. So the Rebbe explains a beautiful thing. He says, no, what the Mishnah is starting off with the Ruchah, spiritually speaking, and saying, there's only one way that a godly divorce can take place between God and the Jewish people. And the key phrase here is Medina Sayam, overseas. What's Medina Sayam? So he explains the following. Medina Sayam means overseas. Means that you, like, if I'm here and you're in Melbourne, we don't say you're overseas, right? Because what is that? What's the idea of overseas? Even in another country, right? If you go from London to Paris, you don't say you're overseas, right? We only say overseas with continents, normally, right? Meaning overseas, literally, it's overseas. You've got to cross the sea to get there. Yeah? Meaning that you're in a far place where it's very difficult to come to where I am. Right? The symbol of Medina Sayam is that you're separate from the place. You're not in Israel. That's the context of the Mishnah. Husband is in Medina Sayam. The husband went overseas. Meaning he went far away to a place where it's actually very difficult to reconnect. You've got to come a ship, you can't even walk there, you can't take an animal there, you can't drive a car there. It's far, right? So, translating it spiritually, Hashem went far away from us. Far away from us. Why did he do that? Because we went far away from Israel. Medina Siyam. What does it mean? The Magid says, the Ritual Magid said, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Da ma'alamayla mimoch. You should know what's above you. One of the things that Pirkei Avos says, you should always think about Hashem is above you, not enough to sin, right? But the Midrash Magid explained it a bit differently. He said, Da, you should know ma'alamayla, whatever happens in the godly worlds, mimoch comes from you. Hashem responds. The way you behave, Hashem responds the same way. So a Yid is a person who what? A Yid is a person who wants to serve Hashem. That's symbolized by the Eretz Yisrael that is in with us. The Chazal tell us, why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz? Because Rotzeso, it wants to do the will of Hashem. Right? Like a Yid, he should want to serve Hashem. That's what we should be living by every single day. Wanting to serve Hashem. The part of us that wants to serve Hashem, that's Eretz Yisrael. What happens? Sometimes a Yid, unfortunately, goes Midina Sayam, he goes overseas. Meaning he disconnects from the will of Hashem. But so much so that it becomes very far, that it becomes very difficult to connect again. He's far gone. So everything happens to a person, that's what Hashem responds. So what does it do? Hashem responds, Medina Sayyam. And that's why the first Mishnah is saying, you know when a get can happen? You know when there's a divorce between Hashem and the Jewish people? When Hashem is Medina Sayyam. Why is it Medina Sayyam? Because you're Medina Sayyam. Right? Okay. Good. So therefore Hashem is hidden. Hashem is hidden. And therefore, it's because it's hidden, so luckily the get can take place, so to speak, because he's not here. So therefore, the get can leave him and come to us, and we can be driven away. Because we ask the question, how does it go out of Hashem's hand? Hashem is always there. So he's concealed. He's not really there. He's gone. Medina Sayam. However, the very possible. Okay, so that was the Jews' claim. Hashem divorced us. It says, Hashem, yes, but I never really divorced you. You have to go on a deeper level. Why? Here we come to the most beautiful idea of the power of tshuva. The very pasuk that says that Hashem says, I will hide from you sometimes, which is the pasuk in Chumash that says that will come a day and Hashem says, Onoichi haster astir, like the word Esther, right? I will hide from you. starts off with the word Anoichi, which is the same word as the first word of the Ten Commandments. We know Chassidus that Anoichi refers to the highest level of Hashem. He's not the revealed part of Hashem, but the essence of Hashem. Hashem is saying, you know what? Really? In that hiddenness, in that concealment, and therefore in that apparent divorce, Anoichi, I'm still there. It never really happened. Why? Because it never really happened, because the Yid also never really went to Medina Sayyam. Why not? So we know like this. We know that at Matan Torah, Hashem married us, right? What do we do? Hashem revealed himself to us and he gave us the mountain, the whole thing of Ichsidus. He held the mountain over us, which according to Kabbalah and Ichsidus, not that he was forcing us, he wasn't forcing us, because actually, halachically, he couldn't force us. If it's a marriage, the halacha is when you marry someone, there has to be willingness. You can't force someone to be married. You've got to say yes. It's got to be under the chuppah, the halacha is the color, it doesn't say anything, but it has to be midaita. We learn from Rivka. Rivka wasn't able to go back to Yitzchak unless she said, Eilech, I'm going to marry him. She has to agree. So Hashem showed us such love with the mountain, that's a symbol of love, and we said, Nasa v'nishma. But the Gemara explains, the Chassidus explains, that when we said Nasa v'nishma, we declared a commitment and a willingness to serve Hashem. That willingness, that rotzoin to serve Hashem, is actually always there. It might be very hidden sometimes, but it's always there. How do we know this? From the famous Rambam. Rambam says that there are certain things in the Torah that you have to do, certain mitzvahs you have to do willingly. Like at certain times a person has to bring a korban, he's obligated to bring a korban, but he has to say, I want to bring it. And he refuses to bring the korban. So what do we do? Very funny halacha. Don't try this at home. We have a halacha that the Beis Din can come to him and beat him up until he says, yes, I want. So the Rambam says, well, that's want? That's not want. Says Rambam, no, it is. Because the Yid deep down wants to serve Hashem. Every Yid by default deep down wants to serve Hashem. Wants has the rotzen to do the right thing. But there's layers, there's outside layers, the superficial layers of the Yid that is standing in the way. And therefore he can't bring himself to say in an open way, I want, because on a conscious level he doesn't want. But really in a deep level he does want. So we beat him up until the conscious level gets out of the way and his essence comes out and he says, I want, which is a true statement. It's not a hypocritical statement. It's not a false statement. It's a true statement. He does want. Because he really wants. The layers in the middle don't want. So we get them out of the way by beating him up. All right? So therefore, in truth, when we dig deep, which is really the process of tshuva, and we realize we've really messed up, and we seem to be separate, we seem to be divorced, that's when Hashem sends us a message, you're not divorced. Why? Because I never really went to Medina Sayyam, and you never really went to Medina Sayyam. I'm still here with you, and you're still here with me. You just need to reveal it. How do you reveal it? To the power of tshuva. Right? Power of tshuva. This explains a very fascinating thing. The Gemara talks about tshuva, and the Gemara says, it's got to do all of the psukim we're learning before. The Gemara says like this, G'doyla tshuva, tshuva is so great that it overrides one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. One of the negative commandments of the Torah. How so? So the Gemara says, we have a halacha, which is a psukim we've just learned, that if a woman gets married and her husband divorces her, and then she goes and marries a different man, and that man dies or divorces her, she can't come back to her husband, correct? We just learned that. So the Chayro, going back to the wedding between Hashem and the Jewish people, yeah? He married us, he divorced us, on one level there was a get, he sent us away, we married other gods, we went astray and served other gods, says the Nevi'im tell us that we're in Golos, I mean, the Haftoris, we learned before Tisha B'Av all about this, how we've gone astray, we've gone to another husband, another god, another father, all this kind of stuff, right? So we married another person. Now all of a sudden you want to come back? Tshuva? Can't. You marry another man in the middle. You can't come back, Hashem. Says the Gemara, G'doyla tshuva. Tshuva is so great that it pushes that prohibition aside. Hashem says, no, you can come back to me anyway. So then everybody asks, what do you mean? We have a rule that Hashem keeps his mitzvahs. He keeps all mitzvahs. If it's halacha in the Torah, it's halacha in the Torah. It's very nice. Sounds like a powerful statement. But how can that happen? Maybe Taka Shuvah doesn't help. Maybe once we've married another god, which is what we do when we do Averis, we're following another god, maybe we can't come back. Based on this chumash, based on this mitzvah. The answer is that our relationship to Hashem is on two levels. This is how the whole thing works. This is how Shuvah works. That on a conscious level, on an operational level, we are married to Hashem, we have a relationship to Hashem, we do mitzvahs. In other words, on the rational, operational, conscious level, the Torah level, on that level we are married to Hashem and bound to the mitzvahs. If we mess up, we get sent away. The connection disconnects. There's a divorce. So yes, the Jews are right, there is a divorce. On which level? On that outer level of operational, rational, outward level. On our conscious relationship with Hashem, the rational relationship with Hashem, the operational relationship with Hashem, divorce can happen. And you know something? On that level, remarriage cannot happen. If you would just go purely according to the Torah's logic, Shuvah is very difficult. Right? There's a famous medrash. We shall bring it out very quickly. It's not in the Sikha, but it's a famous medrash that's brought out. The medrash says that there were four things that were asked. What should happen to the person that sins? Wisdom was asked, prophecy was asked, Torah was asked. And then Hashem was asked. Wisdom said, the person sinned, they should die. You broke the machine. You cut off your source of oxygen. Okay, so you should have not done that, right? That's a logical thing. You broke it. Can't be fixed. Sorry, right? Prophecy says that the person suffer. Also, I mean, it's got to be okay. Maybe there's a way back, but there's going to be a rough transformation. Even Torah says it's not so easy. You've got to bring a korban, says the Torah. Korbanis, got to bring a korban. Says the Medrash, Shol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they asked Hashem, and Hashem said, do tshuva. That's it, just do tshuva. Why? What is tshuva? Tshuva means, and this is real tshuva, not just repentance, I did not vary, I say, I'm sorry, I'm doing it. Tshuva means, this is really the tshuva of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, right? Tshuva means you go all the way back to the basic relationship we have with Hashem. You have to dig down to a deeper relationship. Higher than Torah. Tshuva comes before Torah. Torah is what we call in Hasidus the Rotzen of Hashem, it's the will of Hashem. With Tshuva you reach the one who has the will. The one who can say, it's okay. Right? To give a very simple, basic moshul is, the Torah is like a parent and a child, and the parent gives instructions, and the child has to keep them. And then the child messes up, right? So the child comes and he apologizes, I'm sorry, but I'm not, you know what I mean? You didn't do what I asked you to do. How can you repair the relationship? Only if you go deeper. Where the child realizes, and the parent realizes that they were the ones who made the instructions, therefore they're the ones that can say, I love you anyway. There is a level which is higher than Torah. There is a level where our relationship, we have to do the Torah. Hashem wants us to do the Torah. But there is a level where Hashem loves us unconditionally. There's a level of relationship, a very deep relationship, which transcends and is deeper than mitzvahs. And it's higher than mitzvahs. It's not conditional on mitzvahs. Yeah? And that's how tshuva works. And that's on that level, the relationship was never broken. So Hashem says, he sends back a message, I never divorced you, and you never divorced me either. You never ran away from me. You didn't go to Medina Sayyama, nor did I. But you have to reach that level, you have to discover that level. When you discover that level, we're never divorced. That's why the Torah says, that's what the Gemara says, Tshuva is so great that it pushes away one of the negative commandments of the Torah. It doesn't mean Hashem's not keeping his halacha. Hashem has to keep his halachas. But he says, do tshuva and you'll realize that halacha doesn't apply. That's what it means. If we were taka divorced and you went and married another god, I can't take you back. But if you go deep and you discover the relationship that is a deeper relationship, The super rational relationship, the deepest relationship between us and between me and you, then you'll discover a level of relationship where we never got divorced. And we never got divorced, then this halacha doesn't apply. Because it applies on the, if you don't go to that level. Now, how do you discover that level? This is the most powerful part of the whole thing. You discover the level through the mess up. Through the mess up. What do you mean? A yid always does Torah mitzvahs, and he's close to Hashem. In theory, he can live his whole life with a relationship with Hashem that never reaches the deeper level. Because everything's fine. We're very good operationally, operationally and functionally and rationally. The relationship is going well. Like a tzaddik, right? Even though we learn that tzaddik can also do tshuva, but let's talk about a simple pshat. The Gemara says about tshuva ultimately is higher than a tzaddik. Why? What is a real Baal Tshuva? And this fits into the Edel, how Edel works, right? Edel, we have a cheshbon to make. We reflect on the year gone by. What do we come to a conclusion? That we've gone to Medina Sayyam. We've gone overseas a little bit. Yeah, we've done some good things too, but that we're far, right? And there's a big oy vey. What am I going to do? I want to be close to Hashem, but I've messed up. I made bad choices. I've become far away from Hashem. So you yearn. That brings that induces a yearning to come close to Hashem. What's that yearning? The yearning is like Baal Shem Tov says about the shofar, like a child saying, "I'm not behaving like a prince, but I want to come back to my father's palace." Right? In other words, the realization that you are completely far away from Hashem, on one level, helps you discover that you have a deeper relationship with Hashem. And that's that cry to come back. That's a cry from the neshama. I'm still here. I'm still your son. And you're still my father. Right? So it's the get on the rational level itself that reveals that there is no get. And actually, we are one on a very deep level, deeper than Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, you got it? That's the shofar, by the way. That's the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about our various mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah, you know that? We just have one cry. I'm home. The cry from that comes from the deepest levels of the neshama. The shofar, that's it. The bittul that we have to Hashem on the most deepest level that never ever went away. We just revealed it. That's why says the Rebbe that this get has to be written like a Sefer Torah. And in fact, more than a Sefer Torah. Because it's Sefer Christus, yes, it's a document of severance, of cutting off, of disunity. And then we have all these halachas that actually make a book of unity. It's got to be written like a Sefer Torah. It's got to be written that the length is bigger than the width. And it's got to be written on one document, the ultimate oneness, even more than a Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's the get that reveals the real oneness between us and Hashem. It's through the get, through the acknowledgement that we have a get, that Hashem did send us away, like the question that they put in the Gemara. It's that claim that brings the response from Hashem, "I never divorced you." Not true. And you need to realize that. It's the get that brings the ultimate oneness. And that's why it's called the Sefer. It's Christus, but it's called the Sefer. And it's a one page. And it's got lines from the Torah, and it's so much like a Torah, and even more than a Torah, because a Torah can be written on many pages, and this has been written on one page. Because the get that brings the ultimate oneness. But the last point we have to understand, is, again, I'll bring this into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is that once you reveal that, then you have to connect on the rational level as well. And that's the second part of tshuva. It's not enough to say, "Yeah, well, I'm always good, and, you know, deep down I'm a Yid, I'm always one with Hashem, and we never got divorced." Because I always say this every year, you've some heard it from me many times already, that we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, "Avinu Malkeinu." Right? We have two relationships with Hashem. There is not only a father-child relationship. There's also an operational relationship, which is Malkeinu, like a king. A king is not an unconditional love. A king, you got to earn your keep. You got to do what the king says. We know this from parents and children. You have an unconditional love by the child when they're born, but and you can always go back to that But as they grow up, there's a relationship where you have to behave, right? There's things to do, there's things to accomplish. Yes, deep down there's always that original unconditional love, true. But there also has to be Malkeinu. So we start off with Avinu. The way that works is that after an Elul, the first thing we do is we go all the way deep down to the most deepest of relationships. And we say we're home, we were never disconnected, we're never divorced. Tshuva gives us the power to come back. But then come back means you've got to make a plan and you've got to actually fix details. And that's a Aseres Yemei Tshuva on Yom Kippur. That's why on Yom Kippur we do talk about details. We talk about specifics because that's what Yom Kippur is. You've got to actually say, listen, I did this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take another step, I'm going to be better, I'm going to try harder. Right? But it starts by first revealing a deeper relationship, which is higher than Torah Mitzvahs, which is the Rosh Hashanah cry from the shofar. Good. Stop there. Sorry?
I'm just so cold.
Actually, it's so cold. I'm sorry.